But we'll try this again on this Saturday morning. Good Saturday morning. Welcome to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. Daggum phones. I about had all phones I can take. You know, I had this one here that I had to rehook, and I beat it. I pulled one of your tricks from years ago when something didn't happen like you wanted it to in insurance, and you're over there beating the phone.
Oh, I never did do that.
I did that the other day. Yeah. Oh, you'd been proud of me. It was a good one. It was full hand banging on the table, and everybody in the front office going, "What's going on back there?"
Well, I grew out of that, Steve.
Well, I haven't yet. But
I wouldn't do anything like slam a golf club down on a bad shot or anything like that.
No, or kick the golf cart, stuff like
or
that.
Run
or
over,
run over or somebody.
Run over.
Yeah. Yeah, I ain't got over that yet. There's still trauma. Good Saturday morning. This is Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. And I guess if you're a Tiger fan, not such a good morning. But some positives from last night. What's the video on YouTube last night that we archived? Went back and watched some of that, saw some good things. And of course, as any ball game, you saw some things you got to work on as well. But in a few minutes, we'll talk with Coach Alex Seaton. He'll be in with me and Kirk, and we'll talk about last night's game. Also, a little bit later on, we'll have scores from last night, some interesting scores from last night around our region as well. And we'll take a look at what's up next, Giles County, next week. Kirk, last night, you know, we talked about a lot of first, a lot of new, and that was something new too. An NBA team that came in and that last year had some success at the end of the season. We talked about that, made it to the quarterfinals, beat Lexington at the end of the year. So they had some momentum going into the 2024 season. They played like it, much better prepared team than last year's team that came in here.
I think so, and a multitude of athletes. I said, they need birth certificates. We need to make sure that they're eligible, because some of the guys, they had probably four different players that at any time they touch football, they could take it to the house. I mean, they were that good. They had great wiggle. I mean, they were shifty, and then you created any space, we were going to have a hard time catching them. I mean, they're just really good athletes on the field. And sometimes I think when you play kind of a unorganized team with really good athletes, it makes it that much harder on you, because you're disciplined to – certain reads and types of blocks and how they're playing you in formation. Well, they don't adhere to any of those things. So, I mean, you're playing by a technique that you've learned, and it's supposed to work. But when you got a guy that can make three moves in a two-yard area and you can't touch him, sometimes all that kind of goes out the window.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about that. You know, we mentioned a couple of times it was like watching backyard football, like when we were kids.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
But
and who usually won?
The one that could scramble. with the fastest guy. But, you know, we've talked to, Matthew over the 13 years. We've seen a lot of unusual stuff, and Alex has too, being a part of that staff. As you're a part of something where you got rules on how you want to block, how you want to defend, how you play this, how you play that, all your schemes. And like you said, they don't play that. So that messes everything up. So how do you combat something like that? Not just us, any team that would play them.
Well, I mean, and Alex, we're going to ask him some questions about the game last night, but he'll tell you too that one-on-one in space, out in the open field with those guys, you've got to have somebody, especially on defense. I mean, you look at defense against a superior athlete, you got to have an athlete at least as good as him or better. to try to compensate for open field runs with people that we watched it for years. I mean, it's the old, you know, question we've said 1,000 times over the last 30 years. It's the same old question. When they get out in the open, how do you stop them? And we keep getting the same answer. So the answer to that is don't let them get in the open field, and that takes a lot of work.
Yeah, and we did that at times last night. Put a little pressure on the quarterback, got him off the mark a lot of times.
But another thing too is the things you have to do to put pressure at the line of scrimmage. I mean, you got four guys down there with their hands in the ground, and they're going to try to do their job. Well, if they're having a hard time doing their job, you got to bring number five and number six. And the more you bring, that creates more space on the back side of the defense. So, it's one of those which pill to swallow, because you're going to swallow one of them somewhere. You can't get away with that all the time. The only way really to combat that is really have the athletes to match. And it's the horror and the beauty of high school football, because there's never two teams in a row that are alike. And those systems you put in, the plays you want to run, the things you do in that, you may have a team that has a read option that you've played for 3 years with a quarterback that could really run that offense like it was just greased lightning. But then the next year you don't have a guy that can run that option. So now you got to change your whole offense over, and that it takes a lot of creativity on a coach's part to each year find that middle, that golden spot in the middle that everybody, you know, can make it work.
Yep. Exactly. Well, we'll talk to Coach Alex Seaton here in just a few minutes. We appreciate you tuning in on this Saturday morning. Hope you enjoyed Coast to Coach. It came on before us, a breakdown of SEC football and a breakdown of Tennessee. We were listening to it here in the studio as we were getting ready for the show. So a lot of sports to talk about. Coach Alex Seaton steps in. We'll talk about last night's game with NBA, and also a little bit later on, what's ahead for the Tigers as we take it on the road in week two. You listen to Sports Talk. This is 93.5 FM. I'm Steve Cornell along with Kurt Carroll back after this. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. I want to remind you, if you get hurt in an accident or a work-related injury and you need to navigate the legal world, give my guy Justin Reynolds at Justin Reynolds Law Firm a call at 731-925-7000. Justin will get you back in the game, not only in the game of life, get you some money back so you can enjoy the game of life. So if you're hurt in an accident, give Justin a call, 731-925-7000. Let's bring in Coach Alex Seaton. As last night, Alex, we talked about in the pregame show about a lot of new for Hardin County, new head coach, new coordinators, new quarterback, a lot of things going on. New-wise at Hardin County High School football, first of all, great atmosphere, great tailgate party, and the lighting and the field itself was outstanding. I mean, the new equipment they've got that lines everything up perfect. I mean, everything looked great.
I noticed that in the Jamboree. I was sitting there going, man, that's the most perfect yard line I've ever seen drawn on a field before. And I didn't know that it was – I thought that they had hired somebody that – had the major ability to walk a chalk line, you know, just perfect.
Well, you're partly right. We did hire it, but it was just a robot. But yeah, I thought, like you said, Steve, the atmosphere was great as always. The field, the lights, everything was popping out there on the field. The turf itself looks amazing right now. So can't beat the setup with everything we've got, for sure.
Yeah, and had a team coming in that we had played last year, but we talked about a lot of momentum that they had toward the end of the year, and I know that 1 year versus the next year, but it looked like a team that came in last year that was a little bit unorganized in their play, and to some degree they were that way last night, but seemed like a lot better coach, a lot better athletes than they had, and they had a little bit of depth that they didn't have last year.
Yeah, I think they had a few more kids just on the team that they added this year. I think they lost five seniors from last year's team, like you said earlier, that went to the quarterfinals. So good team and not overly complicated in what they do, but they're good at the handful of things that they do run, speaking offensively. Run game, they stuck to zone, and you can tell that that's their bread and butter. That's what they work. Their backs were taught to be very, very patient and find if there wasn't anything in the middle, they're going to bounce it quick, and you got to be there to make tackles. So I felt obviously good test, good team that came in here and played last night.
Well, I'll just start out, and we talked about it a minute ago, that modern-day defense, and me and Steve, we're old school. You know, you get outside of 50 defense, and I don't really know what's going on. But I do know that through the years, like when you played, my boys played, I watched a lot of teams, and where we were always vulnerable against athletic teams was in space and on the edge. And what I mean the edge is when they run outside the bunch in the middle. And – what's the answer to that? I mean,
well, with a team like that last night, we've got to be perfect in our technique with it. So everybody in our defense, you're responsible for gaps. So taking the ends, for instance, like if you take a half step inside and you've squared up that tackle rather than keeping that outside shoulder free, you've given up quite a bit of space against a team like that.
Can't release.
Right. At that point. And same thing with, like, the outside backers. The way we teach it, we want our outside backers over the top of – they stayed in doubles a lot, so two by two, and we've got to be over the top of that. The way the backs were playing it, they would be very patient, aiming at the center, and what that was doing, it kept kind of sucking those outside backers, wanting to get in there tight rather than
– make them commit to the inside. Making
them commit, and you be there, so – we kept getting drawn in.
And couldn't catch them when they
bounce. And then when they bounce, we're out of position and they're getting right outside of us. So that was the frustrating part from the coaching standpoint, is that it wasn't anything extravagant that was getting done, and it wasn't something that we were attempting to not correct, but it was something that continued to happen. So from a defensive standpoint, that's going to be something that we put a huge focus on.
Well, you could have tried putting 13 out there. Maybe the officials, you know, I knew that crew that was where I don't know that they would have caught it every time that we had 13 out there.
We did discuss that as well. At least 12.
Well, I mean, and like I said, we've seen it before. But another thing that I wanted to talk to you about, too, is there were some rule changes. I mean, I got just frustrated last night the way that they – administered penalties, and I didn't know on a holding penalty. Now that happens beyond you can explain this to me. A holding penalty that happens downfield, beyond the line of scrimmage. The enforcement, the 10 yards, used to be where the guy made the hold. So let's say your guy runs 15 yards and it's first down and 10, and we get a hold 10 yards downfield. They're going to mark that from that spot and bring it back to ground zero.
Right.
If he blocked – no. They bring that back to where it was snapped, the line of scrimmage. So you're going to be in first and 20.
Right.
Instead of first and 10 after it's marked off. But if it happens behind the line of scrimmage, they use the spot.
Right.
So if they block 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage, they marked 10 yards off. Now you got first and 13.
Right. And I don't know, last night in the situation, I tried to argue that he was not having it, wasn't going to listen. He was dead set that was the correct call. But, yeah, essentially, so you could have a 50-yard run, right, and it turn into, you know.
Well, I got to thinking, you get a 50-yard run, you got a wide receiver trying to block, and he blocks a guy, let's say the ball's on the 50-yard line, and at the 10-yard line, you get a block in the back by your wide receiver. They're going to bring that run all the way back to the line of scrimmage.
Based off the way that it was done last night, then yes.
So and you lose the 40 yards that you got before. I mean, yeah, I read somewhere, I got home and read, and it said it was one of the most controversial rule changes they've ever had. And yeah, I can see why.
And they said they changed it like 2 years ago or something. But to my knowledge, I don't remember us getting anything like that in the last few years that I can remember. But once again, like I said, I tried to make an argument for it, but he was dead set that was the right call, and I needed to be quiet. So
maybe it just worked its way down here this year. It's been on there 5 years. You got to learn to throw your headsets.
Well, I'm going to have to work to that.
At them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe we need to get Kevin Davis in here one day. He's an official, and kind of go over some of the new rules. Kevin's been a long-time official here, but yeah, we were up there arguing about that. What are we doing? What are they doing? And then we saw the confusion on our sideline, too.
That's the way it's been for 2 years. They haven't been doing it like they did it last night.
Right. That was kind of my thing, too. I don't recall it ever coming up since the rule's been changed, if it has, in fact, been 2 years.
Well, another thing I wanted to ask you, too, that I didn't know that I found out is, We really do fundamentally, those really good running backs that we played against last night, you couldn't tackle them up high. I mean, if you go in there trying to grab them around the shoulder pads or chest high, they were just going to forget that. I mean, that didn't bother them at all. And which you want them to go in there and take their legs out. And I said, man, they ought to spend every day working on the fundamental tackling in open space and going down low, getting low, thigh level, play at that level. And they said, well, they can't. They only get to tackle one day a week.
Well.
In full pad.
Yes and no. The way it's defined is full contact. You can kind of go with that. I mean, so we may be shorts, shoulder pads, but – we do a drill with tackling dummies or tackling, it's not necessarily deemed full contact. Full contact meaning like we're live, completely to the ground. I think you can kind of go with that, but very rarely from a health standpoint, we're trying to create ways to do it within groups, within individual time to work tackling, whether it be maybe not completely full speed into each other's legs, but with tackling pads and all that, it's we work tackling daily in some form or fashion, within the rules.
All right, Steve.
Yeah, we need to take a break for a second. We're talking with Coach Alex Seaton about last night's game with MBA. Coming up in just a bit, we'll talk about what's ahead for the Tigers. If we'll head over to Giles County as old man Kurt's phone's turned wide open. You're listening to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. Back after this. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. I'm Steve Cornell along with Kurt Carroll. We're in with Alex Seaton, head coach of your Hardin County Tigers, and the Tigers started their 2024 season last night against MBA in what was a super long game. I think we got out of there around 10:30 last night. I forgot what the what, about 75 points scored last night, something like that, maybe 80 points scored in that game last night. But, you know, we've talked a lot about, too, defensively, some things that didn't go well last night. Offensively, though, and we talked about that during the game, you know, the first series wasn't the best series. I mean, it wasn't what you wanted, especially after a quick hit like they had, a three and out. But I think after a couple of series, it seemed like that we settled in. And not only that, it seemed like Brody settled in a little bit in what he wanted to do. And y'all kind of found an identity in that game of what's going to, you know, maybe work best moving forward.
Right. Yeah. I thought, obviously, outside of that first drive where we just kind of put it out pretty quick, then we went back out. We were able to establish the run. Really like to brag on the offensive line across the board. I thought that, especially defensively, that what they were giving us, there was multiple looks. They were having backers down, and I thought, for the most part, we consistently picked guys up, and there was good-sized holes at times for us. So really a bright spot for us in the game was what we did up front. I think, and I don't have the stats, I'm about to go do it here in just a little bit, but I think Brody and Jake combined for, you know, 40-something carries in the two, which some things we're going to have to look at with that. But we were effective in the run game, passed it in situations, had some pickups, but overall was pleased outside really that first drive. Obviously the takeaways, that's been my whole deal, especially offensively. You can't have negative plays. You've got to execute, you know, up front, picking guys up. We've got to take care of the football, and we got to finish. That was the point of emphasis. And we still had a few things that we've got to clean up, obviously, but I thought overall, offensively, running the ball, I was excited how we played.
Oh, yeah, and if you'd have told me, I didn't think you'd score 35 points last night. And the offense was a bright surprise. The offensive line, there was a lot of plays that the backs were able to get 4 or 5 yards before they were even touched, much less tackled.
Right.
I think your guys, I mean, Saunders ran hard. Like, you know, we're accustomed to seeing him get there in open space. And he's one of the guys that can, he's got the jets to turn on and beat people to the, you know, to the goal line. He can, big explosive plays for him. And the key was, were you going to be able to get him into space? Well, that offensive line really did a good job. We talked about it last night. Offensive line kind of had a rhythm going, and they had some good defensive front guys too. Yeah. And they were still, you were still able to, you know, create openings for those guys to get in. You got to feel good. I know one thing from watching him play sparingly last year to the Jamboree to the first of the game last night compared to the end of the game last night, he'll be a different kid in week five. I mean, he's getting it. It's, right. It's just, I mean, it's different on Friday night when you hadn't been just a routine starter.
Right.
And, but he's going to be able to, he's going to be able to play.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, turn your mic on, dummy. Well, it's like you said last night, though, you know, we were in some pressure situations last night. Game one, that's going to help him down the road. I mean, that game was tight, back and forth, where you needed to play. I think the killer was once we got those turnovers defensively, and you said it a number of times last night, not talking Butch Jones, but complimentary football, offensive and defense. Defense and make a play, then we turn around and give it right back to
it. Was neither side of the ball helped the other side. Whenever one side of the ball did something good, the other side of the ball tried to ruin it. And yeah, it just kept going back and forth. You'll not have another game all year to where you killed your momentum 4 or 5 times in a game. I mean,
right,
to get a turnover, make a great play, everybody's excited, and then turn the ball over on the very next play. It's like it never happened. The momentum just squashed in a second. And we did that 3 or 4 times in the game, and that doesn't normally happen, but it was one of those Murphy's Laws last night. If it can go wrong, it will, yeah. And that's what happened last night. We committed suicide. You know, yeah. You can't beat yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple times, really, I felt like, you know. I think, well, I tell the kids, and there's some stats that I pulled from college football that it was like a 10-year study based off turnovers. You know, if you got two fairly evenly matched teams and you're plus one in the turnover battle, you got like a 69% chance of winning.
Way ahead.
And as obviously as that goes up, so, I mean, in high school football, that those numbers are probably even higher. So turnovers play just a huge key, not just from a momentum standpoint, but just looking at it, just odds of winning in general, you know, that there's – when you turn the ball over, don't take care of it.
Well,
you know,
I mean –
chances of winning.
It, probably 5 times in the game. We're within a touchdown or less, and that defense has got to make a stop and let that offense, who's looking good, you know, they've been able to put points on the board, and all you need is that one stop. We couldn't get the one stop after we would cut that lead to 6 yeah. points, you know, 5 points, and it just couldn't get that one play, like they were in 4th downs the other night. I think their lead was either 5 or 6, and they're in 4th and long, and they just throw it up. And we've got guys there. I mean, it's a jump ball. It's played well. Everybody's in the right spot. And somehow, some way, boy catches the ball 30 yards downfield, and here they go. And then they go on to score.
Right.
It was like that all night. They just couldn't help themselves last
right.
night.
I agree 100%. I mean, the other thing that defensively, getting off the field on 3rd down in the situation last night, they were going to go for it on 4 down.
Yeah.
So getting off the field on 4th down, especially on 4th and long.
That's what I told Steve last night. I said, every series that they're out there, you're going to stop them 4 down.
Yeah.
Which people don't realize how hard that is, too.
Yeah. When you got them 4th and long, though, you would like to think that you've got good odds of doing it. But I was hoping, because I knew they were a little inconsistent in the punt game, snapping and stuff last year, from a little bit of film that we did have, aside from our game. And in warm-ups, they were inconsistent. They were punting the ball from about 8 or 9 yards, which normally it's more like 13, 14. Like, and also, I thought that's going to be an opportunity for us. And they never – I don't know if they ever really had much intentions of punting, even on their own 25.
And the other thing, too, is I know from their standpoint is – We couldn't get them deep enough in their territory and in a long enough 4th down situation to scare them.
Right.
You know, they were always in 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4, 3rd, and they were probably averaging 5 yards a carry. So, I mean, I don't think they were scared at all going for it on 4th down, even though they were, may have been at their own 40 or 35-yard line. They just felt good about it. And, yeah, I would have loved to. I saw them punting in warm-up. And they had a boy at the goal line, and he was punting them and catching his own punt.
Yeah.
So I think they would have had a hard time punting.
Yeah.
You know, you were talking about calls last night. There was one that I didn't understand. I guess they made a mistake on their side. We had run the ball, let's see, I think to the 1 yard line. I think there was a procedure call. They declined the penalty and let us keep it 1st and goal at the 1. But then I saw you in discussion with the officials. That was late in the game.
Yeah,
and I mean, that was a big play at that point.
I think they had 12 on the field. It was on them.
Oh, it was on them, not us.
Yes.
Okay.
The confusion was the down marker didn't ever change. Something was going on. So he still had 3rd down up.
Correct.
He was set back. That's the reason I ran over there. I wanted to make sure that everybody was on the same page.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is not 3rd down, Craig. It should have been 1st down. And I think that was what that play was.
Well, we didn't know. We just thought it was against us, and they declined the penalty, and we were going, why did they do that? They gave us the first
penalty. Well, he gave illegal procedure.
Yeah, that was that's what he did. Yeah,
I mean, Pete walked out there and gave illegal procedure and pointed against us.
Oh.
And we thought that he got the first down, according to the marker.
Right.
And we were thinking, well, now it's going to be fourth and six. And or third and six, depending on. I'm like you. I didn't know what down it was because I don't know. I don't think he ever flipped it. And but anyway, yeah. I'm like Steve. They came back in and said they declined. I'm sitting there going,
okay, we'll take it first down.
He didn't give any signal as far as illegal participation or 12 men on the field. I don't know where that came from.
Well, let's take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll take a look at last night's scoring plays, and also we'll take a look at Giles County as well as the Tigers go into week one. And then we got scores from other sports action going on around Hardin County High School. You're listening to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. Welcome back to Sports Talk right here on 93.5 FM. Had a rough night. Had a rough week. Suffered an injury. And called my guy, Justin Reynolds, at Justin Reynolds Law Firm, 731-925-7000. Justin will get you back in the game and also get you some money back in your pocket. A lot of times we are in accidents just unexpectedly or suffered a work-related injury, and then you're trying to wonder, you know, how am I going to navigate my own life when I'm not working anymore or can't work, and you have to go through the legal procedures against the big companies. That's what Justin does. Give Justin a call at 731-925-7000. Get back in the game with my guy, Justin. Call him today. Let's take a look at scoring plays from last night, and there were a lot of them. As NBA took the opening kickoff, first play of the game, Alex, 73-yard run, just what we talked about they did all night last night, just kind of bounced it outside. Got in space and then took it to the house and kind of a shot play right off the bat.
Right. Yeah. So came out, it was a zone play, and we actually had a couple guys there to make it. Did not finish on the tackle, which once again has been a point of emphasis for us going back, especially from last week to this week. But it happened again in that particular play. Happened to be the first play, and got him, made contact, don't finish it, and makes a 70-yard run, whatever it was there.
We go, we get the ball back, go three plays, and punt it back to him. The NBA goes three plays and a 78-yard touchdown run this time. The two-point conversion is good, and they're quickly out 14-0.
Yeah, so very similar. Guys gets out, a guy gets out of position, as we talked about earlier. You've got to play your technique perfect against a team like that and force it with our defense. We want to try to force it to the sideline, make it bubble, keep them from going north to south, and get out of position on them, and they're going to make you pay. So back-to-back drives with scores right there for them on situations where essentially we hurt ourselves.
And the Tigers get the ball back. They get in the red zone for the first down. For the first time, get it down to the 5-yard line. We turn it over on downs.
Yeah, have a pass play call. There's miscommunication there by one of them, and didn't get all the routes ran correctly. And so, once again, going back to execution and finishing that we did not do on that particular drive. And I know we're going to get to it, but at this point in time, we both had the ball, two possessions apiece, mm-hmm. and we had a real chance to – we had to look at ourselves. We're going to fold up right here, or are we going to continue to battle? And I know we're going to get to it, but I was proud of them from that standpoint that as bad as things started, that we were able to settle down and execute a little bit later.
Yeah, well, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I was just going to say, you were never out of the game.
Right.
I mean, it is as bad as we were at times, and as bad as we hurt ourselves under certain situations like the turnovers, you're always in the ball game. I mean, you were just – you needed one stop and one score.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's where – and the defense just couldn't answer that one time, get them stopped so we could get down there and score.
Yeah. Well, here's the bad sequences that we had, and it started right here. You're talking about getting a stop. We finally get an interception. Riley Head gets the interception, turn them over. And then we come right back and give it right back to him on interception of our own.
Yeah. But goes back to what I said a minute ago. It's just we got to take care of the football, especially down in the red zone. Play was open initially, just had a bad ball come out a little late, and kid had some closing speed and was able to come up and make a play.
Yeah, but that's also just – that's green. I mean, you got a green quarterback. That's what we were talking about off air. He's going to learn to get that ball out of his hand quicker. I mean, it's just – I've been there. I was a backup quarterback, and I'd get thrown in a game, and I was always late throwing. I wanted to see Danny Smith get wide open before I threw him the ball.
Well, I bet that's tough.
Well, Danny Smith, people don't realize it, but he was an outstanding – I mean, he had flypaper hands. He could catch anything. And sometimes what he did after it was questionable, but anyway.
Well, you got to catch it first.
Yeah, well, he could catch it. And but it's that same scenario it's hard to throw that ball when that guy hadn't completely made his break and you trust him. You know, that's hard to do when you hadn't been matched up for a couple of years with that receiver. So that's just a learning curve.
And we go in the second quarter, Tigers get another interception. Hunter Adams gets the interception. I think their quarterback got dinged up a little bit because he was out for three or four plays, and they brought in a backup, and he threw it right to Hunter on a third down play.
Yeah, I think he had kept it on a run at some point and got dinged up a little bit, and they – initially, I thought maybe his helmet had just come off and they swapped him for a play, but they kept him in for three or four plays. Made a pass up across the middle. Adams had a good drop in his pass zone and picked it off.
And the Tigers go on the first scoring drive. They go six plays, 60 yards. Brody Ivey kept it off with a one-yard run. We cut into the lead 14-7. NBA comes right back, though. A six-play drive, 76 yards. With a 21-yard touchdown run, 2-point conversion, no good. We go to halftime 20-7.
Yeah, I thought looking at the first half, we had an opportunity to do some stuff, obviously with the turnover, but kind of what I said a minute ago, that the fight that we came out with after halftime and kind of really the rest of the game, I was proud of the guys for that because it's very easily – you could look at it and be like, offense, going to turn the ball over, can't get in the end zone. Defense, can't get a stop. Could have pointed fingers. And I thought that we held our composure for the most part and continued fighting. And a lot of credit, once again, going back to the offensive line, giving us positive plays offensively, getting momentum going for us.
Yeah, and you came out in the third quarter, took the opening kickoff in the third quarter in the best drive of the game, and you could tell, you know, Kirk, that offensively we kind of found something that we wanted to do. We're going to 70-yard drive, seven plays. Ivy goes in from 13 yards out. Now we're in the game 20-14.
Well, and another good thing about that too, you know, you can't help but hear it if you watch any football at all. You know, last 5 minutes of the third quarter and the first 5 minutes of – I mean, the last five of the second quarter and then the first five of the third quarter. And you did. You came back and answered, you know, on that initial drive because they scored with like a minute 30 left to go in the game. And so they won that end of the second quarter. But then the answer, you come back and do that, and we're all kind of going, well, they're in it, you know.
Yeah, and then we do the same thing. They fumble the kickoff. We get it. Then we fumble it. Well, we didn't actually fumble it. I think they just took it away from Jacob.
Yeah. I'll have to double check, but I think Josh said last night that was his first fumble in his career, lost fumble. And like you said, it was more of just a true takeaway.
Well, in his credit, too, I don't know that he even had time to –
No,
to cover the ball up, and they brim blitzed right through the A gap.
They knew at that point what we were trying to do, run the football, and that's when they really started bringing heat up the middle. They're bringing two guys in the A gaps and things like that at different times, two guys through the same gap at times. So, and that's what happened on. It was just a one of those things that, I mean, obviously when you got to take care of the football, but. Blocking wise was difficult to handle the way they. I mean, if we were able to bust it right there and get around them, those next level guys, we would have probably had a pretty sizable gain. They gambled and it paid off.
Well, what really another thing too that I saw that you did was when they started run blitzing up the middle, you started hitting that off tackle. With Saunders, and they had trouble with that. I mean, he scored a touchdown on that. You started finding that, you know, run away from all the traffic. And so you picked up on that, and that's what I was saying. I thought the offense was really fluid last night other than the turnovers. Yeah. You kind of picked them apart with the run game.
Yeah.
And that was really positive in the game. That's what kept us in the game.
Yeah, they were capitalizing on their turnovers too, because after they get that fumble, after the big kickoff recovery, they go six plays, 70 yards, a one-yard run, 26-14. And then a special teams play by Hardin County as LaMarion goes 85 yards on a kickoff return. And, you know, here we are right back in the game again, 26-21.
Yeah. This good play. Our kickoff return guys got enough peace, and he's good about – not dancing around. If he finds a seam, he'll hit it, and that's what he did last night. He split two guys there and outran them. So, good football play by LaMarion.
Well, we get that stop we needed, and deep in their own territory, they went it forward on their 25 or so on fourth down. We get it back, and then I be dadgum first play fumble.
Yep.
Yep. That's about all.
I mean, it is what it is. And then NBA comes back, six plays, 76 yards, 15-yard touchdown run, up 34-21. Tigers come right back, three plays, 67 yards. Jacob Saunders gets a score, 12 yards out. And he had two really good runs in that three-play drive.
Yeah, we talked about that last night. I thought that he – really, as the game went on, just kept getting better. And I was glad to see that. Obviously, the amount of carries, as I said earlier, we want to try to keep it a little bit lower. So we want to keep him healthy ultimately. But in the game situation, he was feeling it and felt good. And I thought that he just kept getting better throughout the game.
We got an onside kick too after that, and then had a seven play drive.
Pig did.
Pig recovered because
he's the one that got hurt. He was the one that
cramped up. Well, yeah. Foster was getting his own onside kicks, and I was wondering if that was kind of what you were set up.
It is designed for the kicker to get it. Aketsa is our foreign exchange student that's our kicker, and He we've worked it with him. I think he's a bit hesitant. He can go get it, but I had told Pig this week when we were practicing it, I said, if it's wide open, like their alignment, and there's not someone you need to actually go blow up, I said, if it's there, you go get it. Because I trusted him to make sure that we could get the ball. Yeah, and that's what happened.
Well, and bringing up, you know, Aketsa. That was a bright spot too. I mean, we've come up with some. Seems like we find a kicker every year that you didn't know existed, and he was really consistent. I mean, he hit all those extra points, and no hesitation. I mean, I was that's something like them. That's one thing that kept us in the game is they couldn't kick an extra point, and you stopped them like 3/4 of the time on their tries going for going for 2 points. And
yeah,
I don't think they only got one or two out of the whole night. So I mean, got a bright spot there that didn't even know we had.
Right. Yeah. No. He came to America right before football camp, and I think he got here on Friday and reported to camp on Sunday. Welcome to America.
But, we heard you can kick.
Yeah. But yes, he's been he's a soccer player, first time playing American football and ever. So
well, another thing too, it seemed like the opening kickoff, he kicked straight toe. Unless I missed it, I thought he kicked.
Was
that soccer style?
Yeah, I think it was.
We're not sure.
I think so. You don't see many soccer players that kick soccer style that kick also straight away, you know, off their front toe. And that first one, I went, well, that was different. Maybe he's multi-faceted kicker.
He can kick left and right, too, which is pretty impressive.
Left foot?
Yeah, he can kick them both pretty solid.
I don't see that. NBA goes on another scoring drive, 7 plays, 87 yards, 37-yard touchdown run. Hardin County puts another drive together, 8 plays, 65 yards this time. Ivy goes in from a yard out, and then NBA just basically ran the clock out. Going in, the final was 46-35. And like Kurt said, a lot of positives in the game, a lot of things that need work as well. But at least a home opener, and now we go to Giles County. Before we do that, let's take a look at some scores from last night. Adamsville defeated Fayette County 40-21. Chester County 14, TCA 10, Crockett County 36, Northside 34, Southside 16, Ripley 11, Lexington 48, Scotts Hill nothing, McNary 58, Humboldt 20, and our opponent next week, Giles County, was shut out by Page 28-0. So we head over to Giles County, a place that we've never been. It's been a long time, I'll say that. We've been there, but it's been a long time. I think the last time I was at Giles County was the Butter Bowl when Rick Barker was coaching back in those days, and Mel was doing the games back then.
1975.
Oh, yeah, it was a long time ago, yeah. Yeah, I was just a mere child. But anyway, we'll go to Giles County. Giles County has a history of – Giles County has a – my seat just went down on my ankles. Giles County has a history of winning football, especially the last several years. They've made it to the semifinals. Unfortunately, they've run up against Alcoa the last 3 years. Came over here last year with a really good football team, and we were able to hang on. So I know they probably got a little revenge factor on that side. But going over there for the first time and playing a really good football team, I think they were in the top five in their division in the state.
Yeah, good football team. Like you said, they've won their region. I'm not sure how many years in a row, went to the semis quite a few years and end up – facing Alcoa, but the little bit of film that I have seen to this point, a little different style offensively than what we saw last year. They're under center some, doing some stuff. The quarterback that was there, I think, is transferred. So I think this kid that they've got now is still capable of throwing the ball and getting it out there, but maybe not as dynamic of a thrower as that kid last year was. But obviously, good football team, good up front on both sides of the ball, going to be physical. Obviously, going to be another big test for us.
Yeah, so the biggest improvement we've always heard is from game one to game two. So got a lot of work ahead of you and your coaching staff. From last night, but like I said, a lot of positives to take away too.
Yeah, absolutely. Plenty of things to work on. A lot of staying fundamental things. Nothing that's going to be super extravagant or anything. But like Kirk said a second ago, it's tackling and finishing and taking care of the football and just
don't beat yourself.
Right. Not shooting ourselves in the foot.
All right, Kurt. Any final words?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to be looking for that improvement after the first game. You know, I've always heard that. I don't know that if that can be proven statistically or not. But I do know that you got a lot of guys that were playing in important positions that haven't been there before. It's always the twilight zone when that happens. I mean, and those guys will get better. And they're going to have to grow up really quick because in a heartbeat we'll be at game 10. So I'm looking kind of excited about some of the positive things that happened in that game last night and see where those improvements come from.
All right, we got to get out of here for this Saturday morning. Thanks to Alex Seaton for coming in. Thanks to all of our sponsors and all of our listeners. And we'll see you next Saturday for Sports Talk at 9 a.m. So have a great Saturday. See you next week. College football starts next week as well, so we'll have a lot more to talk about. I'm Steve Cornell along with Kurt Carroll. Thanks to Clark over at the station. We got to get out of here. Have a great Saturday. So long, Tiger fans.